Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Nick Costos right now is on the line. He's the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL Network. And you can now watch from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Fast Channel or Peacock. Nick, one of the challenges I had is looking through these games this week was figuring out like where the motivation is. How much does that weigh in here in these final 2 weeks of the season when you're looking to bet some of these games?
What's up? How was your Christmas, buddy?
Yeah, not bad. You too? I mean, I just blew right by that. I figured we'd get right to it. I'm not big on the foreplay. Well, how was your daughter's too young to really...
Me neither.
Your daughter's really too young to get Christmas, right? Like, you just had her, what?
Yeah, she's 7 months old. It was more just like for me and my wife. I don't think she knows what's going on. But I think she had a nice time.
Did you guys exchange gifts, you and your wife? Or
always, yeah, of course.
Wow, always. Hey, wait till your daughter becomes, you know, 3 and a half and you just buy a new house. Then maybe it's not always.
fair enough.
I got my wife a car. That was about...
I guess we understand where Sal's at this point in his life.
And
yes.
Not to mention, not to mention, I foolishly didn't follow your lead and I took it on the chin. I lost a couple hundred on the Steelers on Christmas Day.
It's almost like you could have bet the Chiefs to win, basically, Sal, and you could have won your bet instead of lose. In any event, motivational spots this weekend. I think it really it depends on the game. And Sal, we have a couple motivational spots like tomorrow and different market movements in those games. So, for example, Chargers-Patriots tomorrow. So three games tomorrow in the NFL on Saturday. First game, Chargers-Patriots. Obviously, Pats are 3-12. They're out of it. Chargers win and they're in the playoffs. But we've seen the Patriots get bet throughout the week, actually. This is now down to Chargers -4.5. And in the night game, Rams-Cardinals, where the Rams are obviously trying to like solidify their position to win the NFC West. Arizona eliminated from the playoffs, and people can't stop betting the Rams. This is now almost out to a touchdown favorite for the LA Rams. So we don't really see this come into play, Sal, for the most part, until Week 18, which can function in some games like preseason, which I think actually makes it a really valuable and fun betting opportunity. You know, a lot of people disagree. They're wrong. That's okay. So it really depends on the game, Sal, as far as the motivation goes.
All right, so if I'm looking at tomorrow's slate, and I see, because I was eyeing that Cardinals game, Cardinals-Rams, thinking I'm taking the Cardinals. They are, even though they're eliminated, it's still okay to take them plus the points in that game, for example?
Well, so there's a reason why, you know, it's not just motivation why the market's moving towards the Rams here. The Cardinals dealing with a bunch of injuries. Both of their starting tackles are out for this game, and I think Kyren Williams is likely to trample them on the ground. And for Arizona, we also don't know if James Conner is going to play. We don't know if Trey Benson's going to play. And if those guys don't play, former Jet Michael Carter, the bad Michael Carter, not the corner, the running back, would be Arizona's starting running back here. So we're hanging out in between 6.5 and 7. My sense is Connor's ruled out. This definitely goes up to 7. Let's say Connor plays. Maybe it sits 6.5. Maybe it comes down to 6. I do like Arizona a little bit plus the points, but Sal, that is my least favorite of the three games tomorrow. I like the other two more.
All right, so then give me, if I want some action, everybody's sitting around trying to enjoy the, you know, holiday season with their family, is the you know, the days off wind down, you get some football on Saturday, what's the best bets for tomorrow?
Yeah, so I like the Chargers tomorrow. Worth noting, the betting market is moving against what I like here. Just want to offer that context. Not that that means that I have to be wrong or vice versa. But I like the Chargers a lot in this game. And the thought process here behind not liking the Chargers, you know, J.K. Dobbins is coming off injured reserve, likely to play in the game. Gus Edwards is out. Maybe the Chargers can't run the ball. Drake May is, you know, the Patriots stink, but the young quarterback is pretty good in Drake May. And I think it's pessimism that the Chargers can win this game in the cold by margin. I don't buy it. I think the Chargers are a lot better than the Patriots. I like the Chargers. I laid 4. If people like LA, like, you lose nothing by waiting to see if it goes back down to 4. If it goes up to 5 is a dead number. It means nothing. So I like the Chargers. See if it goes back down to 4 to lay that with the Chargers coming up tomorrow. That's 1 o'clock, that kickoff of that game. The middle game tomorrow is Denver at Cincinnati. Sal, huge game as far as the AFC playoffs go. If Denver wins, the Broncos are in the the playoffs. If Cincy wins, the Bengals stay alive, the Colts stay alive, and the Dolphins stay alive in the race for the 7th seed in the AFC. I like Denver. Point spread's 3.5. I think the Broncos are going to win. And lost in kind of how awesome this Bengals offense is, and it is. Like, Burrow's unbelievable. Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Chase Brown, they're all great. This defense still stinks out loud. I can't get behind them laying 3.5 against a competent NFL offense and a good coach in Sean Payton. So Broncos plus 3.5. I think the Broncos are going to win, but you want to be safe. Broncos plus the 3.5. Chargers minus the points. My two favorite plays tomorrow in the NFL.
All right, I'm going to go around a couple of games on Sunday. We're talking with Nick Costos, of course, host of You Better You Bet. Check him out here as well on The Fan Sunday mornings. What time are you on? 8 a.m., Nick? Or 7
a.m.? 8 a.m. 8 tonight.
There you go. All right, that 1 week screwed me up because I knew you weren't earlier.
Oh, but me too.
8 to 9. Before we go around the league a little bit, one game I was eyeing was the Bills over the Jets. I think they're going to squash them. Is this a spot where you got to be careful because now the one seed is off the board for the Bills?
No, because Buffalo still like wants the 2 seed, obviously, because you want to avoid having to avoid potential bad matchups here, like against Baltimore. You don't want to go to Baltimore in divisional weekend. You want to host that game. So still a very important game for the Bills. I'm looking at the weather situation here. So it's going to be raining. Like it says, like 100% chance of precipitation, potential wind. It doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, so just keep that in mind if you people want to bet this game, that there is expected rain in the forecast. And when early in the week it looked like the weather was going to be really bad, Sal, the Jets got bet. This was Buffalo 10 on Monday. This went down to as low as 8, and now with the Jets injury report being what it is, like they're down to their third string left tackle, Vera Tucker isn't practicing, Moses isn't practicing, like Sauce Gardner seems unlikely to play. We'll see if Devontae practices today. I don't think there's a Friday practice report yet, but this is shaping up where, I mean, I don't know how the Jets are protecting Aaron Rodgers in this game. So, Sal, the way that I want to play it here, if this dips back below 10 at any point, I like Buffalo, so I laid 9.5 earlier in the week. 10, I think, is a fine point spread in the game. 9.5 or lower for me is a play on the Bills. It is Bills or nothing for me. I have no interest in the Jets.
Okay, there's about 4 or 5 more games I want to get too quickly. You mentioned Miami still being alive. What are we looking at with the Dolphins? They've been frustrating to me. I feel like they're almost dead. Laying a big number on the road in this game, right, in Cleveland?
Yeah, so this is what I call like a bet your opinion game. The point spread is completely out of whack here. So Miami's a 6.5 point road favorite at Cleveland. Even with DTR, who is awful, who's terrible, starting for the Browns, the point spread's a little crazy. The thing that gets a little difficult here, Sal, when we get to this point in the season, it's hard to quantify like the quit factor in teams, and the Browns may just like pack it in and quit here, and that's why you've seen Miami get bet up to this point. So if I had to bet the game, like make me bet it, I would take the points with the Browns, but like I'm not clicking that button, Sal. This game is a full pass for me.
Yeah, I could see that. I was tempted to take those points because I'm just like, and I've been a Miami backer, thinking on the road, cold weather. My 6.5 just doesn't
seem right. It's not going to be that. I think it's going to be like 43. Mm-hmm, it's not going to be that bad.
All right, how about Bucks, Panthers? Bucks obviously have a lot to play for in the NFC South.
Yeah, so this is, again, another game where I think the point spread is perfect. Tampa favored by more than a touchdown. And think about it, right? Tampa closed 6.5 on the road in Carolina like 3 weeks ago. Now -8 at home. This makes sense to me. So my opinion is that Carolina's going to cover here. We saw the Tampa defense get shredded on Sunday night by Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, we bet Dallas a couple... I say we. I did. Maybe other people did too. Whatever. bet Dallas in Carolina a couple weeks ago. That was the first game in 33 games that the Panthers were favored. And I said on your show, I said on my show, I said on the Fan show on Sunday morning, that there is a big difference in expectations between needing to not get blown out and then winning by a decent amount. And I like Dallas in the game. Now we get Carolina again in a spot where they just don't have to get blown out to cover the spread. And I like that with the way Bryce Young's playing right now. So not one of my favorite bets of the week, Sal, but you make me pick the game, I'll take the 8 with Carolina on Sunday.
Sticking in the NFC South, the Falcons are just a weird freaking team, although I do love Penix. He wasn't great. He was fine. He didn't have to be great, but even playing the Giants. But he's going to have to be better, and they're going to have to move the football a lot better in Washington. Sunday Night Football is a big game. What do you think, Falcons and Commanders?
I like Atlanta a little bit, plus the points. I hate to be a broken record. Like I have a lot of games that I like. Some of the games you've asked me about are not ones that I love. I do like Atlanta. The point spread was better earlier in the week. This was 5.5, 4.5. Now it's sitting at 4, and I think we're probably just right here. I think this may be a little bit overvalued here for the Commanders coming off the second half comeback last week against the Eagles, and I think Jaden Daniels is great. I think there's a case to be made he might already be the best quarterback in the conference. Like, he's awesome, and I don't think that's a hyperbolic statement. There's no way Washington wins that game if Jalen Hurts doesn't get concussed. So I think this is maybe a decent spot to take the points with the Falcons, so if it might make me bet the game, Sal, I'll take the Falcons plus the points on Sunday night.
How about Packers-Vikings, huge game there?
Yeah, I think Green Bay's better than Minnesota. The point spread tells you they are. Minnesota is one of the best home fields in the league. The Vikings are currently a 1.5-point home favorite. When we woke up this morning, Green Bay was about a 1-point favorite in the game. And I think the reason why we're seeing Minnesota get bet now is pessimism in Christian Watson playing on Sunday for the Packers. So Watson is obviously like the vertical threat for Green Bay. He's a really inconsistent player. When he's on, he's awesome. And when he's bad, he's terrible. But what Christian Watson does is open everything else underneath for the Jaden Reeds, the Romeo Doubs, the Dontavian Wicks, the Tucker Crafts of the world. So if no Christian Watson, it really makes the Green Bay offense a lot easier to defend for Minnesota and Brian Flores. Now, we don't have a Friday practice report, Sal, and like we don't have an injury designation for Watson. If Watson plays, I think the Packers are going to win. If he doesn't play, it's probably just a no bet for me, but you make me pick one of these teams, which one do I think can go farther in the playoffs? It is absolutely the Green Bay Packers. So I guess if you make me pick, I'll take Green Bay, but I really want Christian Watson to play if I make that bet.
And why is it? I know you've been on Green Bay for a while. We're talking with Nick Costos here, host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Why is it? Like, I know my reasons for not wanting to believe in Minnesota, but why do you believe the Packers are better or could go further in the postseason than the Vikings?
Yeah, it's quarterback. Like, I get Jordan Love, you get Sam Darnold, and maybe he's just awesome. And this is going to be what it is coming up. It's possible that that happens. I think it's unlikely. You know, obviously, has never made a playoff start before. You know, Love obviously beat the Cowboys last year and then took the Niners down to the wire in the divisional round. So, I mean, I just think Green Bay's upside is way higher with Jordan Love's than Minnesota's is with Sam Darnold. Like, I'm willing to be proven wrong. I'll put my money down in January and we'll see where the chips fall. But I do think Green Bay's ceiling is definitely higher than Minnesota's. But we need Christian Watson to play.
Yeah, and also let's just stick in the NFC North. I mean, home field could be huge here, and it's still up for grabs. You got the Lions on Monday night against a dead Niners team. They're laying, 3.5 points there? But, I mean, Lions, Vikings, Packers, really the Lions and Vikings with the 13-2 record. I'm shocked, Nick. Anything could happen. It seemed like the Lions were the best team in the conference by far. Now, all of a sudden, they might not even win their division. Do we still have Nick there? Did he just not like what I was saying about the NFC North, I guess? We must have lost Nick. We'll get him back up here. But isn't that wild that we're talking about the Lions being a top team in the, you know, certainly the conference, maybe the league, when BT and I were doing the power rankings all year long, the Lions were pretty much the number one team. And now, Nick, as I was saying, as I think we get back on the line, they go from being the best team maybe in football to being the best team in the conference. Now they might not even win their own division.
Yeah, I still think the Lions will win the division, Sal. I like them a lot on Monday night against San Francisco, laying 3.5, like the over in the game as well. Detroit has reached the point in their season where they know with all the defensive injuries, they're going to have to outscore teams. And I think they're capable of doing that. So I like them Monday night on the road at San Francisco. I'm going to like them in Week 18 at home against the Minnesota Vikings. I still think the Lions are the likeliest team to come out of the NFC and get to Super Bowl 59. So my opinion hasn't changed, Sal, that dramatically on Detroit. I still think they're the one seed, still think they're the most likely to go to the Super Bowl.
So Detroit can clinch this week with a win and a Minnesota loss, or no?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, with a win, would win the NFC North with a win and a Vikings loss, correct.
And if both those things don't happen, let's say both teams win, then the division's going to be on the line, I'm assuming.
Division on the line, exactly. Oh. And remember, Detroit has the head-to-head tiebreaker by virtue of beating the Vikings in Minnesota earlier this season.
Right. So then, either way, though, then it would just be about that game.
Because correct.
Okay. So Detroit.
Just in case it gets into like a convoluted tiebreaker, right. Detroit has it.
So, right. If Detroit wins this week and Minnesota loses, that's a clinch. I'm trying to think of a scenario where Detroit can still lose the game next week to Minnesota and win. That would be if Minnesota wins. If Minnesota wins this week and Detroit loses.
And Minnesota wins next week, the Vikings are the ones.
Is there a way Detroit can lose next week to the Vikings and still win the division is what I'm asking.
Let's see. So if Detroit wins or loses this
week? Loses.
So they'd be 13-3. Minnesota's 14. Yeah, no. Because if Detroit loses, this week and Minnesota wins,
right.
Minnesota's a game up on them. Detroit has the head-to-head tiebreaker. So if Detroit wins, beats them next week, Detroit wins the division. Still.
So right. So I guess if Detroit wins this week and Minnesota, and Minnesota wins. Right. If they both win this week, Minnesota wins next week. No, because then they'd still be there. There's no way the tiebreaker is going to come into play, is what I'm saying.
That may be true.
Because I'm just trying to do the math here. How does the tiebreaker come into play? They're tied right now, but they're going to be playing each other.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right about that.
Well, who the hell knows? I don't know why I get caught up in this stuff. What about the NFC South, Nick, division-wise? They're both tied right now. Atlanta has the tiebreaker as we speak. What do you see happening between the Falcons and Bucks for the NFC South?
Betting market tells you that Tampa's way more likely to win the division. You know, just keep this in mind. You know, Atlanta obviously, you know, leapfrogged them last week. Tampa losing Sunday Night Football to the Cowboys. The Falcons crushing the Giants, who will get crushed again this weekend, by the way, no matter who plays quarterback for the Colts. So Tampa's an 8-point home favorite this week. Atlanta's a 4-point road dog. So betting market tells you that when we wake up on Monday morning, Tampa's going to have the advantage, and Tampa's going to be in first place in the division, right? And then we can go to Week 18, and I think both teams are likely to win in Week 18, where the Falcons host the Carolina Panthers, and Tampa plays the New Orleans Saints. So I think Tampa is likely to win the division, right? Tampa wins out. Atlanta loses one. Betting market says that's likely to happen. If I had to bet one team, Sal, I hate to say it, I know you're a Falcons guy.
Yeah, it's okay.
I would bet the Bucs to win the division.
It's okay. Atlanta does own the tiebreaker because they swept the season series from the Bucs. But just looking ahead at that, where are you at with the Eagles here? I mean, we don't know about Hurts' status for Sunday, right?
Very unlikely to play.
Okay, so overall,
we can assume that it's Pickett.
Overall, then, if he doesn't play, they're still big favorites over the Cowboys. Where do you look at the Eagles with home field in the NFC? Without, you know, how much does that matter for them?
I think it, you know, they could potentially go on the road to Detroit and win. I look at the Eagles' ultimate upside this year, Sal, being getting to the Super Bowl and losing to whoever the AFC team is. I don't know that Philly's upside with the passing game being in the state it's in is to like go and like outduel Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, most especially Patrick Mahomes, and win the Super Bowl, but I definitely think the Eagles can get there. They are extraordinarily likely to be the 2 seed, and I think for Philly, honestly, like the big problem for them is going to be the likeliest team to be the 7 is Washington. Now, Philly will be a big favorite in that game if they play Washington again at home, figure around a touchdown, and I don't know that I would pick Washington to win. But I think I would almost certainly bet the Commanders to cover, and I think there's a strong case to be made the Commanders have the better quarterback in that game with Daniels versus Hurts. So I think the Eagles can get to the Super Bowl, Sal. I don't think that they can win it.
And then the last one, I think I know your answer because we talked about this a lot, but you said, well, whoever gets there in the AFC, the Chiefs feel like they're getting stronger here, 15-1. They just don't lose. It's remarkable. The Ravens seem to be getting a little bit better while the Steelers fall off a little bit. Buffalo's Buffalo. What are we looking at as far as the best of the best in the AFC?
Yeah, it's Kansas City. Like, I mean, it's a boring answer. I got asked in a radio interview earlier today, like, if you had to, like, get a value pick, like, give me a long shot. I said, okay. If you bet $100 on the Packers to win the Super Bowl, you lose $100. Like, you lose. You lose. I mean, did everyone, I saw the Netflix numbers, I think everyone watched, right? Does anyone think, like, they're losing? Does anyone think, like, the Chiefs are losing? They've got the mental, like, juju over Baltimore. They've got it over Buffalo. If Detroit gets its Lions Chiefs, like, no way. I think it's Detroit winning that game. I don't think the Packers could get there. I think they would lose. The Eagles can get there. I think they would lose. So, look, like, I'm really confident.
Give me one. If you had to pick one.
I don't want to.
At all. You couldn't even give me one who's better.
Baltimore.
Yeah, okay. I was going to agree with you. At this particular point, I feel like Baltimore, for whatever reason, whether it's the coach, the way that they play, Lamar's skill set.
Here's the reason why, for me, I would say Baltimore. I think it's unlikely, but Baltimore has the ability to have just, like, it's within the realm. It's not 0%. None of these things are zero. But, yeah, Baltimore could go to Kansas City and have, like, a nuclear offensive game. Like, it's possible. They could score, like, 35 points on the Chiefs defense, and maybe the Chiefs can't keep up. I don't think Buffalo's going into Kansas City and, like, ever winning. McDermott is brutal. He is. I'm sorry. And, like, John Harbaugh's not. Like, I would not pick Baltimore in that game at KC. But Baltimore's upside is to go into Kansas City and potentially win. I don't think Buffalo's got that upside. And then the Ravens get there against, like, Detroit. I mean, come on. Lamar and Goff, like, stop. How many points are the Ravens scoring in that game? Ravens-Eagles? Like, I picked Philly to beat them in the regular season. I would take Baltimore. Ravens-Packers, Ravens-Vikings. So Baltimore would be my team, but again, I'm not shying away from the Kansas City Chiefs here. It's boring. They're the favorite. Also, like, boring sometimes pays the bills. Give me the Chiefs.
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate it. Have a happy new year. We'll talk to you on the other side.
You got it. And in case our buddy C-Mac is listening, don't worry, buddy. Giants aren't winning this weekend either. Colts win and win big.
You want to give us your tagline there?
Minimal Sweats winning bets the absolute very best look. And look, unfortunately, we think like Cam Ward might play tomorrow in this bowl game for Miami. Let's just hope as Giants fans, like Cam Ward, like they're up 30-0 and he gets pulled in like midway through the second quarter. Let's keep him healthy going into April for the NFL draft.
You want Ward over Sanders?
I don't really know. Like, I'm not like grinding the tape here. Just people that I talk to that I respect, and everyone's wrong constantly, right? But just from the people that I respect, from what they tell me, is that Cam Ward's NFL upside is higher than Shedeur Sanders. Also, my sense is, no one has said this to me, this is just my opinion. Deion is already on record saying that he's going to kind of like guide where Shedeur goes. And I think it's interesting to think that 21 years after Archie Manning, I was getting mixed up with his grandson, guided Eli away from San Diego to the Giants. Would anyone be surprised if Deion kind of gets Shedeur away from John Mara and the Giants and to the Las Vegas Raiders, where Tom Brady is now a minority owner of the team? So I think that will be a huge storyline in draft season. Does Deion want Shedeur playing for John Mara and the New York Football Giants?
Maybe the funniest thing to happen this football season, and I'm glad you brought it back up, was that Giant fans were actually scared they were going to win a football game. I mean, come on.
I mean, stop.
Come on. That was some of the easiest money ever.
And look, like, Flacco, Richards, I know Richardson's banged up. Richardson, Flacco, present day Peyton Manning, Jim Sorge, Curtis Painter. Like, does it really matter? Jim Harbaugh could come off the Chargers sideline and play for the Colts. Does it really matter who plays for the Colts on Sunday against the worst team in football? Hashtag Giants 100.
Thank you, Nick.
You got it, buddy.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Hoff, do we got BT's picks for the perfect parlay?
He sent them.
Oh, okay. He didn't send them to me this time. Sent them to you. The standings have gotten a little tighter after last week. When we come back, we'll have the perfect parlay pick segment, week 17. Also, I got to get to that Alonzo stuff that I wanted to get out there, so we will do that, I promise, coming up after perfect parlay pick segment. We'll do that at 1:40, and we'll get your calls in, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, BT is out, but we do have his picks in hand. Today's football picks are brought to you by ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and by London menswear brand Charles Tirwhitt. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com. Perfect parlay pick segment, week 17. So last week, I went for a three-teamer. I hit two and pushed the other. So, as parlays do, it pays out for the two-teamer, which brings me 25 points closer to BT. Right now, BT is in first with 240 points after 16 weeks. I am in second with 215 points. Hoff, last year's champion, is trailing right now, still mathematically alive, with 140 points. Two teams are worth 25, three teams are worth 50, four teams are worth 100. We can pick our strategy, whichever week we want to go here. All right, Hoff, so you have BT's perfect parlay to start us off. What do we got for week 17?
Yes, there you go. Hit that music
there you go,
for Dovey. BT. He's back, baby. He is going Tennessee plus one at Jacksonville.
How many teams? I need to know how many.
He's doing a twofer.
Oh, twofer. Okay, playing it close to the vest. All
smells like chicken.
All right, good.
Listen, I got nothing to say. Sure. I'm basically out of it. Tennessee plus one at Jacksonville.
I'm seeing Tennessee minus one here, FYI. Did you check these lines?
Let's double check what he's told me.
Okay, well, whatever. It's just on the score app right now, but go ahead.
Could have changed. Yeah. Could have changed.
Okay, anyway, go ahead, Tennessee.
And then San Francisco plus 3.5.
That is the same line.
Versus Detroit.
Ooh.
So those are the twofers that he's going for.
Tennessee, whether it's minus one, that's what it is right now, and then San Fran plus 3.5. All right, so BT trying to play it close to the vest with 2 weeks to go. and cash that two teamer. What do you got, Hawk?
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm 100 away. I just need to hit one, baby. Let's go. This is the week. I am going to go a little crazy here. I listened to what all the Francescas had to say. Yeah. I listened to what Nick had to say. I am locked in on the Chargers. Minus four and a half.
Yes.
Chargers minus 4.5. I agree. New England sucks. I'm going Green Bay plus 1.5. I do feel lucky with that. Minnesota is a good team, but Green Bay just been playing so much better. Plus 1.5 on the road. I'll take them. Washington minus 4 versus your Atlanta team. I'm sorry about that.
Mm.
And then finally.
Great song, by the way.
I need this. I am going against everybody so far. I am taking Cincinnati minus 3.5 versus Denver. I don't know why. I feel like their offense is prolific. I know that they can't stop my kids' football team, but maybe this is the week that they actually cover. So minus 3.5 Cincinnati versus Denver. That's what I got.
Okay, there you go. Hoff looking to catch that 4-teamer. You need it. By the way, you hit, and then all of a sudden you're back in, and then that's it. I mean, you hit one of these 4-teamers, you're in first place.
Get ready, baby.
Assuming that we don't hit. I need to cash out here. I mean, I did last week to tighten the race. I am not going to play scared. I am not going to play close to the vest. I'm going to go for a 3-teamer and go to snatch the lead with 1 week to go from BT. We're going to start with the Bills. If you heard before, and in case you didn't, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. We had both Harrison and Jack Prentice in. I gave you the Sal special. My best bet is the Bills minus 9.5 over the Jets. They're going to steamroll the Jets. Jets are banged up. Jets are dead. You know, in that weather, in that atmosphere, Bills still need the win to secure number 2 seed. Give me Buffalo minus 9.5. I don't even think that hard about it. Game number 2, where it gets a little tricky, I am going to go with the Cardinals. Nick talked about it, Cardinals being banged up. We don't know what's going on with Connor as far as the running back situation goes. Right now, they're getting 6.5 points. I can see the Rams winning, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals team, who's been pretty good to me all year long. They're tough. Yeah, they're eliminated, but still something to play for, especially in the division game. I think 6.5 is too much. So give me the Cardinals plus 6.5 to cover in Los Angeles against the Rams. Game number 3. Now, I hate to do this because it impacts my heart. You know, I root for Atlanta to win the division in the NFC South. But I think the Bucs are going to roll over the Panthers. Panthers have been doing a good job keeping it close. You're starting to hear now a lot of people get on the side of the Panthers, whether it's Jack Francesa before, Nick Costos was talking about the Panthers, Young playing much better. The line is 8 for a reason. Bucs are at home. They're the better team. They've been the clear better team in the NFC South. I could see the Falcons maybe beating Washington and going into the Week 18 tied. But give me the Bucs minus 8. They're going to light up the scoreboard. I just don't think the Panthers could hang with them. So give me Tampa at home to cover over the Panthers. In summation, Bills minus 9.5 at home. Cardinals on the road getting 6.5 over the Rams. And the Bucs minus 8 at home against the Panthers, looking to take the lead from BT as we head to Week 17. In the perfect parlay pick segment. As for these straight ups, these have kind of been easy the last few weeks. So just picking against the Giants and Jets both. Although I did gain 5. Both of us, Hop, gained 5, I think, on BT a couple weeks back when we had the Jets over the Jaguars.
Yeah, you both gained 10 on 10 of me last week because I went Jets-Giants.
Oh, okay, so we both gained 10. That hurt you a little bit, believe it or not. I'm going to go Bills and Colts chalk here. What is Hop?
It's a family pot. Bills. Okay. And Colts.
Hard to make a case anything other than the Colts and the Bills this week. I mean, yeah, you love to see the upset. I mean, actually, you wouldn't love to see the upset at this point. I don't think any New York football team wants to see them win at this point. It's over. It's for a better draft pick right now. And we think that that's going to be the case. All right, that does it for the Perfect Parlay Pick segment, Week 17.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Have you ever won a sports argument with your dad?
Those, you don't really win those. They go into, here's how these work. You have an argument, and if you have any points whatsoever, you either get shut down immediately or... If you have any points whatsoever, it becomes like you just keep going back to the same stuff for 45 minutes, and eventually it just ends in a stalemate because you just start yelling at each other.
Do you remember like a popular disagreement that, or one in particular that you had? that you were passionate about? Same thing for you, Jack. You can jump in with this one too.
I mean, you never win. You might be right, but you don't win.
They just end in like a draw. It's not even a draw.
It's just like it just stops. Yeah, like, it's just the same words over and over. Like, but it's both of us. Me and him are just as bad. Like, we'll argue with our dad about something that we don't need to argue about. We're arguing about it anyway, and we could both be right, both be wrong, but none of us are gonna stop.
Like, so same thing with each other. You just keep going. Yeah.
The best way to explain it is if you're playing chessboard and you're playing chess, but you only have one king each, and you're just moving it around, and no one's winning, no one's making anything.
That was funny. Hanging out with the Franceses, Jack and Harrison Wren. So we appreciate them taking the time to come in. Fun to have a little family fun during the holiday season. We know Russo and Carton have done it before, so I thought it'd be cool to have both Jack and Harrison in and share some stories about their fathers they did, but talk some sports. And we did that, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Okay, well, we started the show talking about Pete Alonso. And throughout the course of the show, then I learned that we can, and Hoff, you know, I'd be curious to get your thoughts here, because we talked about you mentioned the Baerga report to me, right? That there was 3 years, yeah. $90 million. Baerga had that when? When did he have that? Was that last night?
That was, I feel like it was early this morning that someone reported it.
Oh, okay. Because off of Heyman's article that I read last night was saying that the Mets are far apart. So, okay. I can confirm that report from Baerga is accurate and correct. The Mets did offer Alonso, which, by the way, is a high AAV. So the Mets are figuring, all right, well, you don't want the shorter-term AAV for a longer-term commitment. They'll go 3 years, 90, which is a high AAV. $30 million a year for Pete Alonso is pretty high. Probably the best for a first baseman, I would think, right? I don't know what that is. But 30 per year for 3 years is high, but it's 3 years, $90 million. The Alonso camp wants 175 to 200. Now, I don't know if that's exactly been reported by Heyman. I think it might have been the same thing, or maybe whatever it may be. But that's what I heard, that the Alonso Boris camp threw out the 175 to 200 number, which is why teams started bowing out. And then once that was out there, you saw teams start coming off the board, getting their first baseman. And now we're at the stalemate that we're at. Pete Boris, 175, 200. I don't know how many years that is. I'm sure they do it at 30, but it's just not going to happen. And then that's where you get the Mets say, okay, well, we'll give you the higher AAV for 3 for $90. And take it or leave it. And obviously they declined it, and I guess are willing to sit this out in a spring training and see if somebody gets hurt, if more teams become needy. So based on the reports that have been out there and based on what I heard today around 12:45, maybe an hour ago, whatever it was, and you know, with the Baerga stuff, sometimes he's on, sometimes he's not. But that is accurate. And based on all the information that's been out there and what I heard, I think the Mets need to figure out a plan B ASAP, because they can't be held hostage here by Alonso in a spring training. And if they're not willing to budge, and they're certainly not going to be willing to go to 175, nor should they. Like I said, meet in the middle. That's where you go from 175. You know, what's the middle between 90 and 175? Like get to 140 or 150. To me, they better have a plan B ready. Do you think, Hoff, that there's any plan B that you would be happy with? I know you've been a bigger Alonso fan than me. What would be your plan B if
there,
no one?
There is no plan B at this point in time, because you've lost out on, not saying I want a Christian Walker, not saying I want a Paul Goldschmidt. I definitely don't want to work Mark Vientos in at first base. That's what I don't want, because I don't think he's a first baseman. We just went through that with Pete Alonso talking about the defensive skills. Well, Mark Vientos is not a good first baseman. He's learning third base. He's getting better. I don't want him to go over to first base. And besides that, like, there's no one else available on the free agent market, on trade market. I mean, you're not going to – you can say Vlad Guerrero, but why are you going to go through that process of what the Yankees went through last year, trading for Juan Soto, then having to beg or hope, cross your fingers, that he signs with you next year?
If you're Pete, would you take the 390? And remember, if you're doing a pillow contract, like, here's why I think the Mets are fair – for throwing that out there. I think it helps them, but it also helps him. 3 years, $30 million a year, 90, like, that's a pretty big pillow contract to take. I don't know the opt-outs and stuff. I didn't get those details. But I feel like that's, I don't, put it this way, I don't think Pete's going to do better than that for a short-term deal.
I would, I actually offered that once I forgot. I think once Goldschmidt got signed, I was like, yeah. Or Walker. I was like, all from the three, 90 mil, and you'll get first year opt out, it'll work. And I guess he's not into that. I think you kind of have to at this point in time because there's nobody else. The Tigers just said their first baseman is going to be Colt Keith. So they're not
nobody's paying Pete what he wants. Nobody's paying him what he wants. I mean, it's just it's not happening. 175, 200, they're delusional. Scott Boras and Pete Alonso are delusional. You're not getting that. You can wait till February. You can wait till next February, like 2026. You're not getting that. Not happening. I'm not saying he's got to take the 90 over 3. What I'm saying is you got to lower your ask. So that's why they're at a stalemate. But I'm not worried about Pete and what he gets. I'm worried about how the Mets build the team. And that's kind of where I'm with you, Hoff, where there is no other good option here. Pete is talking himself off of this team, and now the Mets are going to be hurting because of it. If the Mets don't add a big bat to compliment Juan Soto, I'm sorry, but it has not been a great offseason. I don't care how great Juan Soto is.
No, and you could say, oh, bring in Bregman, bring in Arenado. Still not enough. Those are not big bats to me.
Neither of them. I know Harrison said he would go with Bregman. I like Bregman. I like him more for the Yankees. To me, that's the perfect piece to the Yankees. Lengthen out their lineup, play some good defense, proven clutch guy. For the Mets, they need more offense, less defense there. And I'm also not moving. He doesn't fit as well. The Mets need a first baseman, not a third baseman. They have Vientos at third.
Can I just do one piece here to back Pete Alonso for a second? And I know no one cares about sentimental stuff anymore, but Pete Alonso playing one more year is going to break home run records. He's going to be there in the top of the list.
I don't care about that.
I know you don't. I know
you
don't.
Why do you care about that? I care about the best lineup this year.
Yeah, and guess what? Pete Alonso on this team will be the part of the best lineup this year for the Mets. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. Pete Alonso is better on this team than any other option they have. So why are you going to sit there and say, well, we're going to nickel and dime?
Yeah.
It's more important. Pete Alonso is more important for the Mets for multiple reasons.
Right.
But one of them being sentimental.
But let's just, to button up this is the reason why, my opinion hasn't changed, but when you get this information, you have to be fair to the Mets. The Mets 2 years ago offered Pete Alonso, what was it, the 6 years, $160 million deal, right? He said no. Now they offer him the 3-year, $90 million deal. He again said no. Pete, what do you want? Because it's not realistic what you're asking for. Scott Boras and Pete Alonso think they're getting 175 or 200. I don't know over how many years, but it's not even close to the ballpark that Alonso's going to be in. So he could drag it out all he wants. This, to me, is on Pete. It's not on the Mets. It's more on Pete, and that's the problem. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's finish up on the phones. John is in Brooklyn. What's up, John?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's a pleasure being on with you. And the show today was great. I go back to biking the Mad Dog, so that was a lot of fun today.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Long-time Met fan. Born in the same April that the Mets were born, so little experience watching them. I think, in my opinion, I thought that Alonso was a necessary signing in the offseason. But I think as an organization, they're looking longer term. I feel like, and I don't say that I agree with this, but I think they have more faith, and you're not going to like this, Hal. I think they have more faith in Beatty than the fans do. And I think the future plan for the team is to have Alvarez and Acuna and Mauricio, Vientos, and Beatty, where you're going to see Vientos move to first, Beatty play third, Mauricio eventually a second baseman. Lindor's going to get older, and Acuna's the replacement. You got a young catcher.
You can't do that, John. You can't.
And Soto is not at the end of his career.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, so. But you can't do that. And thank you for the call. Can't do that after you just signed Juan Soto for $765 million. You can't do it. You can't go into the year with Brett Beatty as your third baseman and hope that Ronnie Mauricio can be healthy. I don't mind it at one position. You can't have it at multiple positions, relying on Alvarez, Vientos to repeat. They're already relying on Vientos to a certain extent. Can't happen. The Mets need Alonso back, and if not him, an impact bat. They better figure it out because it doesn't sound like Pete is interested in what the Mets had to offer twice, which are more than fair offers. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff, as always, helping us out. Special thanks to Jack and Harrison Francesa. In case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Enjoy the new year. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you BT and I back Thursday, January 2nd. Keith McPherson and C-Mac are in for Evan and Tiki next.